Well, we're in a series, if this is your first time with us, entitled 30 Days to Win at Home. This is my wife, Deanna. Her and I are going to be speaking this afternoon. And so we're very excited about the message because today's message, really, you could take this message and you can apply it to different relationships in your life. But specifically for today, we're really going to apply what we're talking about today, specifically when it comes to raising our children, when it comes to parenting. And the reason why you can apply it to multiple areas or multiple relationships is because we're going to be talking about today the power of our words. So this applies to every single one of us, whether you have kids, don't have kids, kids are up and grown, wherever you're at. Because our words have spiritual power. Now, you've maybe never heard that before. Man, my words have spiritual power. You better believe they do. Power to build up and power to tear down. And friends, one thing that we better get right when it comes to relationships is the relationships with our children. We better get this one right. And so thank God for His forgiveness and everything that we go through when it comes to relationships. When you speak on family, it's oftentimes very difficult because we're all at different points and all different places. Some of you may be married for the first time. Maybe it's your second marriage. Maybe it's your third marriage. Maybe you've just gone through a divorce. Maybe you have a blended family. So we're all in different places. But no matter what has happened with other relationships, thank God that we have a chance and an opportunity to see our relationship with our children grow and actually be a right relationship. Amen? Yes. And so I need your encouragement today. I need you to be with us today because what we're going to talk about, you might get a little convicted, but that's a good thing. Because conviction is designed to build you up, designed to transform you. So that you make sure, as a parent, that you raise up a child that loves God and wants to serve Him. So this is my wife. My wife and I have been married for 15 years. I know we look like we've only been married about 5. You still look young, babe. We got married 22 years old. I don't know why Pastor Ron is my lovely wife's dad sitting up here in the front row. I don't know why he said yes. I was broke. Still in college with a C average. I mean, who would say, yes, you can marry my daughter? Champion, thank you so much. You saw greatness in me, though, didn't you, bro? That's exactly right. You have the prophetic word. So we got married at 22 years old. I was still in college. I had one more year left. We lived in a little apartment that had roaches in it. Remember those roaches, babe? God, those roaches would scatter when the light would come on. Man, it was awful. Oh, they were big, champ. I was scary. It was scary. A little apartment we had an air-conditioned unit was our AC. That was located in the living room, not the bedroom, but the living room. So we had to crank it real low. The kitchen was painted that kitchen yellow for some reason. That was it was all right.
We're diverting from.
Yeah, sorry. All right. Anyways, but our family grew from there. Go ahead, babe.
Yes. You got the pictures up? Yeah. There we are. Okay, so then we added 1, 2, and 3. We added Darcy. We added her. She is 12, so she was born in 2004. And then in 2006, we added Audrey. And then in 2007, yes, you heard that right, 1 year later, we had Zoe.
Help us, Lord. That was tough.
Yeah, that was pretty tough having the three of them. Then 2 years later, we had Lawson. He was born in 2009, our sweet little Lawson. We thought, yay, we are finished. Woohoo, we have our boy. Not. In 2013, we had Hudson. And boy, he is a treat. Let me tell you what. Uh-huh. He is a treat. So there we have our 5 perfectly beautiful children.
5 amazing children. And God has really blessed us as a family. And my encouragement to you sitting here today is maybe you struggle to have a child. Man, keep believing. Keep trusting God. God is faithful to His word. And children, they really are a gift from the Lord. Now, oftentimes, we don't see them as a gift. Oftentimes, that gift yells. That gift breaks things. That gift does things that you never could imagine they could do, but they sure do it. But yet children are a gift, and yet the Bible calls them an inheritance. They're an inheritance. The Bible talks about how they're arrows in the hand of you and I as parents. He says that we are warriors, and they're arrows in the hand of a warrior. And then we're called to pull that arrow out and launch that arrow, that child, into their destiny. But I'm telling you, the primary way that we do that, my friends, is by the words that come out of our mouth. See, our communication to our children, we're going to see this in the Word today. We're going to have the verses for you on screen. But our communication to our children is everything when it comes to the world that we create with our mouths. And that we have the power of parents to destroy, but we also have the power to build up. See, the enemy understands the power of our words. Therefore, his assault against parent and child is to separate us, is to either have no communication, which is probably the most devastating when a dad or a mom does not communicate, or he tries to get us to communicate in a way that does not bring life, in a way that only sows seeds of death. Because, baby, Proverbs 18, verse 21 is very clear.
It says, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So our words contain the power of life and death. So what you say is going to determine whether your child grows up and is healthy in life or whether they're not. Because when you speak life, that launches them into their destiny. When you're speaking about the goodness that God has on their life and the destiny he has life versus all of the things they need to do better and the things that they shouldn't be doing.
But a lot of time what happens as parents is we respond out of frustration. We respond out of anger. We respond because, man, they just won't do what I'm asking them to do. And when we respond out of frustration, out of anger, what happens is the words that come out of our mouth, they're not words of life. They're usually words of death. Right. And the Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue, yes. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Yes. A lot of us today, we're eating the fruit of our child's behavior because the words coming out of our mouth are not words of life. Parents, it's our responsibility. Thank God for the church. And we are here as the church to partner with you as a parent to help raise a child. Because listen to me, parent. It takes a church, you involved in the local church, to raise a child the way they're supposed to be raised. You need help. Come on, parents. Do we need help? We need help. I know I need help. And so the first most important thing you can do as a parent is get your tail plugged into the life of a church. You need to be in a church that is discipling you, that is laying foundations in your life. It's the best thing that you could ever do for your family is plug into a life-giving church. Yes. And get involved in that church. Serve in that church. Because what you declare to your marriage, if you're not married, your children, if you have a family, you're declaring to them, Jesus is first and foremost in this home. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And then we have to learn how to communicate to our children. I love what the Amplified Version says. It says this about Proverbs 18. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. A lot of us, what we're trying to do when it comes to parenting is we're trying to get good behavior, but we're using bad words, wrong communication. And so today, God wants to help us. Listen, I'm telling you, Dee and I preparing this message, man, conviction came to us. Because we're here to tell you right now, we are working on this the same way you are. Yes. We have 5 children, and they drive us crazy. And oftentimes, we have raised our voice. It has come to yelling, and it is not good, and it's not right, and it's not what we need to be doing. So we have felt conviction preparing this. You're going to feel conviction today. Again, that's a good thing. We don't want you to have condemnation. Condemnations from the enemy, convictions from the Holy Spirit. So let's allow the Holy Ghost to convict us today, and let's allow him to mold our tongues so that we can declare life to our children. Amen? And it really, again, it applies to every area. It applies to my marriage. I mean, Dee and I, our marriage grows as we speak life over one another. As I age, I get uglier. I mean, I lose my hair, so she's got to speak destiny over me. And, oh, Lord, thank you for my husband. I mean, she's positive confession. I love him. I love his hair. I know she's lying, but thank God she says it. I'm losing it. I'm getting stuff on the side here that used not to be here. I mean, there are all kinds of stuff going the wrong direction. So we got to learn how to speak words of life. Every word, here's the thing. I'm going to give you a little spiritual law here. Every word is like a seed. Your words are a seed-bearing entity. We need to understand certain spiritual laws so that we can begin to understand the power of our words. And so we're going to give you 3 little things here. It comes from Galatians chapter 6, and Dee's about to read that here, about really the 3 laws of sowing and reaping. And these 3 laws apply to your words. We always hear these laws when it comes to our money, Our money's like a seed. Let me tell you something. Your words are the same way. Your words are like seeds. And number one is this. You reap, according to Galatians 6, you reap what you sow. Let's read that verse, babe.
Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So the deception is that we can get a good crop from bad seed.
No, we think we can. I'm sorry, baby. I'm not trying to correct you.
We think we can.
Yeah, good.
Yes.
You got it. Go, girl.
We think we can. But at the end of the day, it's really what you're saying. It's what's coming out of your mouth. So if you sow bad, rotten seed, that's the fruit you're going to get from it. You'll either get nothing or you'll get some really, really rancid vegetables. You don't want that. It's the same thing with our children. So if you are speaking death over your children, just example, if you look at them and call them an idiot, if you say you're stupid or you should be smarter, why aren't you like your brother? Why don't you work harder? Why don't you, it's always that negative. It just eats a little bit more at them. So screaming at them, man, that's the worst thing you can do. It just drains the life out of them. It's just, so you need to be speaking life always and thinking about, so if we plant good seed, that's when we get great crop.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of us, we're trying to get a good crop, but we're sowing bad seed. So the question, if your child is misbehaving multiple different ways, and you need to ask your question, you need to ask yourself the question, what am I sowing? Yeah. Because I reap what I sow. Yeah. So what am I sowing? Like my wife said, are you trying just to do behavioral modification? A lot of times as parents, we get embarrassed. And our children are embarrassing us in front of people. So what do? Man, we get real upset. We yell, we scream oftentimes because why? You're embarrassing me. Stop it. And we begin to sow. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, but whose fault is that?
Exactly. That's us.
It's ours.
Because we're reaping what we have sown. Listen, parents, if you are cussing at your children, that needs to stop today. Like right now. Cussing should never be spoken. Number one, out of your mouth, but definitely around your children. I mean, what are you sowing into your children when you're speaking words of curse words over your child when you get upset, when you're trying to discipline them? What is that? That's bad seed that you're sowing into your child. What do you think you're teaching your child? That's got to stop. You say, Pastor Lance, I have a hard time not cussing. Well, that problem is that your heart is not right. Yes. See, from the mouth, the what speaks. The mouth doesn't speak. The Bible says from the mouth, the heart speaks. Mm-hmm. So the problem is your heart is nasty. Therefore, your mouth is nasty. When this changes, baby, let me tell you, this changes very easily. Pastor, I can't stop cussing. Give your life to Jesus. It'll stop immediately. You will stop cussing because your heart begins to change. And when your heart changes, your mouth changes. And so if we're cussing at our children, if we're talking down to them, that has to stop. Because as we speak, we're literally creating an atmosphere or an environment for our children to grow up in. Mm-hmm. And you want your child to want to come home. Now, some of our children, they might not be able to articulate it, but they don't like going home. Because the atmosphere or the environment you have created because of your words is a place they don't want to come to. Yes. Listen, parents, remember this. Later is longer. The time that you have with your children is short, but the time you have with them when they leave and become adults is a lot longer. So Dee and I want to have a home that our babies want to come back to. We want to sow good seed, so we also reap good seed. We reap a harvest, and that harvest is our children saying yes to Jesus and wanting to come back and be with mom and dad. Amen?
Yes.
So what are you sowing? Number two, is you reap much more than you sow. Man, this is a spiritual law. You always reap more than what you sow. We see this in money, but we also see it with our words. Is that when you sow a good seed, you're going to reap a good harvest. And it's going to be a harvest that you never could imagine. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the things that have entered into the heart of man of those, what God has for those who walk uprightly. Who knows what your children are going to do, what they're going to become? Therefore, in faith, Because oftentimes, when you sow, you don't get that immediate harvest, do you? Oftentimes, just like planting a seed in the ground, you got to water that thing. You got to be patient and wait for that thing to grow. And when we sow, we got to make sure we're sowing that good seed over and over and over again. Because number three is this, is that there is a delay in sowing and reaping. There's always a delay.
Yes.
But what happens in that delay, we get frustrated. We get upset because, man, I'm sowing, but yet it seems like they're not responding. There's always a delay. That delay, friend, could be 10 years, 15 years. Now, some seed we sow could have a shorter germination process. It could sprout immediately. But oftentimes, Dee and I have learned that, man, it's a long delay. And therefore, in the delay, I can't, because it's when we get upset, it's when we get impatient, that's when the bad seed begins to come out of our mouth. Isn't that right,
babe? It escalates. So what happens is you're trying to discipline your child, but they don't listen. They don't hear it the first time. So you continue to get louder and louder, and things get out of control, or you discipline out of your own frustration, out of your own anger, versus having some self-control and disciplining with the right words, with life speaking skills. A friend of mine told me last week, I was having this discussion with her, because, you know, we have a three-year-old, and he's an interesting little fella. He's such a sweetheart, but boy, he has definitely been our challenge when it comes to disciplining and child-rearing.
Help us, Lord.
Yes, love him. So, and I'm sure this is just, it's happened with all of our kids. Maybe we've just noticed it more with him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have to tell Hudson many times before there's somewhat obedience. So I was talking to her about it, and she said, you know, somebody told me a long time ago that the pattern of discipline is you start at this level. Hudson, don't do that. Okay, what we want is first-time obedience. He's not first-time obey. Mm. So then we say, Hudson, don't do that. And while he's smirking at me and usually running the other way, I'm hollering, Hudson, don't do that. Then he begins to open up and go, oh, she's talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what have I done? I just created an environment for him just to, he knows I'm going to hit my high peak before he needs to obey.
Yeah,
not good. So it's, you don't want to get out of control. The only time you should yell at your child is if they're in danger.
That's
if
right.
The child is in danger, then boy, you better use, microphones, megaphones on to save your child from harm. But when it's sheer disobedience, you keep it at that level. And if you consistently keep it at that level, they'll figure it out. If you never raise your voice, they're going to learn, okay, that's what I need to do. So the first time, it becomes obedience.
So good. And the Holy Spirit knew that there is a delay between sowing and reaping. So that's why in verse 9, what does he say? Don't grow weary in doing good.
Yes.
So parents, what he's talking to us this morning, what he's telling us is don't grow weary in sowing that good seed on a consistent basis.
Yes.
Because the seed takes time to grow into our child's life. Listen, screaming is like example of if you're trying to discipline, if you're trying to reach your child's heart through yelling and screaming, it's very similar to trying to drive a car by using the horn. It just doesn't work. I got to drive the what? I got to use the steering wheel. And the way we begin to, in a sense, steer our child's behavior is by steering their heart. And we don't reach our heart. Man, I've made this mistake so many times, and you think I would learn after five. But so many times God's reminded me, Lance, you're never going to reach their heart yelling. You're never going to reach their heart raising their voice, because that causes them to shut down, not open up. And what you want your child to open up and to begin to receive what you have to say. But we got to understand there's a delay, and we can't get impatient. And what we have to do, really, is we got to continue to declare those words of life, those good seeds. See, Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he understood this. Even though he didn't have natural children, he had a spiritual son named Timothy. And Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, I'm praying for you. And as you look that up in the Greek, what Paul literally was telling Timothy is this. He's telling Timothy, Timothy, in my prayer, what I'm doing is I'm declaring words of life over you. I understand there's power in my words that I use in prayer. And Timothy, in faith, when I pray for you, I'm building a monument in front of God about you, young Timothy. What I'm doing, Timothy, is I'm allowing my prayer or my words to stack up in the presence of God. Because any word, parent, Paul knew this, spoken in faith, to God, get this, does not evaporate. Mm-hmm. Woo, that's a good thing. And that brings hope to my soul. Because there's things that I have spoken to God in prayer, maybe about my marriage, about you, or about my children, that I can take confidence in. Even though I might forget what I said, maybe God does not forget. Our words do not evaporate in the presence of God. They stand there. Now, I don't know for how long, but it's a long time. Therefore, God, He answers those words of faith, those words of encouragement. Again, in His own timing. That's why we can't grow weary in doing good. We have to continue to sow those good seeds. Son, I love you. Son, you're going to be great. Daughter, you're beautiful. Words of life, words of destiny, words of hope. That's the good seed that we're talking about. Well, you may say, the men in this room may say, well, I don't know how to speak intimate words. Well, baby, you better find out, my friend. Because this relationship is vital. The what you say to your children, if you're a man in here, you know how to speak words of intimacy, you better ask somebody for help. Ask me. If you're married, ask your wife, because you need to learn how to speak words of I love you. Yes. Son, I believe in you. I'm here for you. You're a champion. Now, if you've never done it before, it might seem weird. But God will give you the strength and the power to do it. Amen?
Yes.
Come on, y'all with
yes.
me. Amen? Amen? Don't stare at me like y'all mad at me. Smile at me. So once we understand this whole idea of seed, this whole idea of sowing and reaping, now we can begin as parents to create the right environment that this seed might be planted into.
Yes.
So Dee and I are going to talk about really three environments. And these are all, we all can do these. So this seed that you're planting can germinate and grow when it comes to your children. Baby, you go to the first one.
The first one is an environment of praise. So you have to praise your children even when you feel like they may not be praiseworthy. I mean, the truth of the matter is if you wait till your kids do something good, it may be a minute. They may not do it right away. There it goes. It goes back to, you know, the hoping that it's going to come quicker, but it doesn't. It's always delayed. And so, for example, in our home, you know, our kids, they bring their report cards home and they're looking on PowerSchool. It's this new app you can get on and see their grades. It pops up, their grades, and they're all just bummed out. I got a C. I got three C's. And so the first thing I could do is go, well, why do you have C's? Like, did you not study? Did you not prepare? Like, you should have done better than that.
Yeah.
Or what I should do is, but look, you got an A. Like, it didn't matter about the C's, you got an A. It's just like you want to find whatever it is in that child that's going to bring life to them. It's going to change their countenance. It's going to change their heart. It's going to change their attitude. And for me, what I do is I just look for things that my kids do that they don't know that I realize that they're doing. Things that I didn't ask them to do.
Good,
like
good.
Our second daughter, she has learned to love to fold laundry. I'm so thankful she loves to fold laundry.
Praise the Lord.
She'll come home from school and I'll say, guess what? And she says, I got laundry. She'll take that basket of laundry. She'll go in her room. Boy, she folds every piece. But, you know, when they do things that I don't ask them to do, with a grumbling and complaining, they'll play with the baby. They'll do things that I don't expect of them. I reward them with words like, thank you for doing that. Like, I really appreciate that you thought about that, because that's there again. I want to speak that life, you know, instead of dwelling on all the negative, because they do a lot of negative. They're little. They're going to do a lot of never. They're going to disappoint us all the time. But it's finding those jewels, finding those little points so that we can encourage them and bring life to them.
We do. We have to look for them, because oftentimes, let's just be honest, children are not doing things good. Oftentimes they're doing something wrong or they're plotting to do something wrong. So we as parents have got to focus on what do we see that they're doing well. You know, one of the things that we do, and this is very practical, again, if you want to build an environment of praise in your home, or you want to build an environment where your children actually are encouraging one another, not dogging one another. One of the things that Dee and I do when it comes to dinner time is, first off, especially on Monday nights, usually Monday night is the only time that we really get to eat together. And so what we do is that as Mama prepares the food, we don't get our plate and just immediately myself and our children sit down and just start to eat. Right. Because if we do, what happens when Mama finally gets to the table, everybody's finished eating. So she's like, well, I guess I'll eat alone. So what we do now is everybody gets their plate and we stand at the table. We wait for Mom to come sit down. Then we pray standing up while Mama's sitting down. And then we all sit down and eat together. And also what we do is we go around the room. This is so good for your children. You need to do this. is we actually have each child say, all right, Darcy, you're going to go. Darcy's our oldest. Darcy, you're going to go and you're going to look at Lawson and you're going to speak something great over Lawson. So what she'll do is she'll just talk about Lawson. Oh, I love Lawson because he does this. Oh, I like when he did that. Then some Lawson will go for little Huddy. They love this, don't they, babe? They love this. They're like, but what is it? It's a little quirky at times. It's funny. They say little funny things, but and then mama has to do daddy or daddy has to do mommy. And I like that mom time. But anyways, we're not talking about that. So, but what does it do? It builds this environment of praise that we're here together as a family and we're going to encourage one another. We're going to build one another up. My oldest daughter, Darcy, she plays golf. And golf is, if you don't know about golf, golf is an unrewarding sport when you're young, especially. And she just moved up. She's been playing from back further distance. And there's this thing. There's on the golf course, you have what's called a par five, ladies. You know what a par five is? It means you have five shots to make it in the hole. And you get a par. So there was a par five that Darcy was playing, and she actually got a 15. She was plus 10 on this hole. 15. That's not good if you didn't know. But the next time, she had two more holes to play, and the next shot that she hit, I'm telling you, she got up there and she hit it right down the middle. Now, as her dad, I could have easily focused on, why'd you make that 15? You should have done. But you know what I did? She was upset. She had a high score. I said, honey, when you got up there after that 15 and you striped that ball right down the middle, I said, that was amazing. Because that took a lot of guts and a lot of, I'm focusing on what is positive. Yes. So an environment of praise. What are you saying, mom or dad? What kind of environment are you building? Are you building an environment of negativity where you and your spouse, or you're just always negative towards one another, or if you're a single mom or dad, you just come in negative. Woe is this. I hate this. What do you think your children are doing for your children? We want to build an environment of praise. Amen? All right, number two. Go ahead, baby.
Number two is having an environment of being approachable and open. This is one of my favorites. Darcy, she's our oldest. So y'all remember, like, we don't have it all worked out yet because we've only been doing this 12 years. So we're still learning as we go. So Darcy's in middle school this year. And when she gets in the car, I do pickup time. And when she gets in the car, I mean, she just unleashes. She's telling me all about so-and-so and what happened here. And she's telling me about this fight and what this girl said. And I'm kind of going, oh, my gosh, I can't believe we're doing this. Like, sometimes I want to look at her and go, who are you? Like, where's my baby? Who are you? But what it does is it gives me, number one, I appreciate that she's talking to me, that she's not getting in the car and she's all clammed up because she don't want to tell me what's going on, but she's open and she's telling me everything that's going. She ain't afraid of what she's telling me. But it gives me the opportunity to redirect her, to ask her questions, to encourage her, and how maybe she can respond differently. Or, you know, basically, it's given me that inside to what's going on in her life that I'm not having to pry open. She feels comfortable with us. We've tried so hard, and we are still working on it, but we've tried so hard to be approachable. I mean, parents can be so harsh and so hard, and we're so busy with our lives and thinking about everything else, just get the job done, that we forget to stop and say, what happened in your life today? Because that's where you're going to find out. Yeah. You know, and I tell her, I'm like, we want to know. I don't want to be knowing through her friends. I don't want to be finding out on somebody's page and, you know, the principal's comment. No, I want her to come and talk to me and be open and feel comfortable. And so we work really hard. She likes to come in late at night, you know, when it's all getting quiet. And it's finally like, yes, boys are in bed. It's quiet. No, yes, here she comes. And here we go again. Well, we got to stop and make time for that. It's valuable. I mean, those are the moments, those are the nuggets right there that you see right into their heart. That's when you see what's really going on in their life.
Exactly.
Make time for that.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, another little saying is, we like to say, is the days are long, but the years are short. The days are long, but the years are short.
Yeah.
Eventually, they are going to grow up, and you're going to lose your influence in their life. But if you've sown the right seed, they will come back. We've seen this whole idea of being approachable and open. Man, bedtime, even when they get older. See, what happens at bedtime? Bedtime, the distractions are limited at bedtime. And so they're able to open up. They get vulnerable, and they share their hearts with you. And so to sit down with them, and even this goes in with the environment of praise, and begin to pray for them. And even in prayer time, man, I'm speaking words of life, D and I, over them. Lord, I thank you so much for Hudson. Lord, I thank you that I get to be his dad. Lord, I thank you that he's a great champion. All those, I'm declaring life over him, man. I'm talking about him. There's going to come a point where Dee and I, we're already there with Darcy, where we're going to have to sit down because she's the oldest, and I'm going to have to share my story of things that I have gone through, things that I necessarily don't want her to know about, but I'm going to have to be able to articulate those to her. So hopefully as she gets in those situations that I was in, I made a bad decision, that she's going to make a good decision. But it takes me as a parent to say, hey, it's okay to make mistakes. When Dee and I were going through our struggles about 7 years ago, and man, I didn't know if this marriage thing was going to work for us. You know, after we reconciled and healing came, we set our children down. And we basically apologized to them. They were little. They didn't hardly understand what we're talking about. But we basically said, hey, mom and daddy have made a mistake. We have not been the mom and dad that you deserve. And we want to apologize to you. Why did we do that? Because we want to show them it's okay to make mistakes. Yeah. It's okay to be open with what's going on in your life. And so share your story with your child. Wait till they get to the age they can understand, but you're going to have to do it because it could keep them from doing the same knucklehead thing that you have done by just simply telling them. And number three is this. Number three is an environment of honesty, an environment of praise, an environment of approachability and openness, and the last one is an environment of honesty. Really, there's three values, and kind of when we talked about this, the three values that we really have in our home really are three things. Our kids know there's three things that we're going to do in this home. And that is prayer, encouragement, and honesty. We talk about those three things a lot. Because we want to build an environment of honesty in our home because, again, we want our child to know and our children to know it's better to be honest. Yes. It's better to share what you did, talk about what you did, instead of us finding out. You're not going to get in trouble if we find out. If you talk to us and be honest, you are going to get in trouble if we find out by ourselves or some other way. So we've talked about this, being honest in our home. See, I believe, guys, as you go home today, whether you're a single mom or dad or married, what environment are you building? You build that environment with right here. But here's the thing. All of this great stuff is good. But if your heart, if you sitting here today and you're our parent and you're not right with Jesus, really, I hate to tell you, but none of what I just said is going to work. Because you can't lead your children unless you allow Jesus to lead you first and foremost. Your heart has to be changed. I'm telling you, parents, the most important decision you could ever make is to say yes to Jesus. To say, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I want to live for you all the days of my life. And then once this is right, now I can begin to talk the way I should talk. Now I have the power actually to build the right environment in my home so that my children can be raised up and serve God themselves. I'm telling you, mom, dad, listen to me. The greatest success that you'll ever have is not how much money you'll make. It's not what rank you will have or what business you're going to build. It is your babies. Your children are the greatest success, the greatest accomplishment that you will ever have on this earth is raising children that serve Jesus and actually are doing something with their life. It's the greatest accomplishment. As I close here, I want to close with this story about Pastor Ron. You know, Pastor Ron, his brother actually pastored a church, and he was playing on the worship team at this church. And Pastor Ron at this time wasn't serving God. He was just a great musician. And so his brother needed him to come serve on the praise team and play for him. And one day, his brother, he would give an altar call at the end of the service. And Pastor Ron was up here playing for that altar call. And if you don't know what an altar call is, basically it's a moment when you can get up and really begin to come down front, raise your hand, just do whatever to get right with Jesus. And Pastor Ron's standing here. He's just playing. He's just strumming, not really paying attention. And he looks up, and as this altar call is going on, he notices that his young son is getting out of his chair and coming down front to give his heart to Jesus. In that moment, it hit him. He's thinking, my son is giving my life to Jesus, and here I am. I'm far from God. I'm not serving him at all. Pastor Ron puts his guitar down. He walks down front, stands beside his son, and gives his life to Christ right then and there. See, Pastor Ron knew, how in the world am I going to lead my son unless I'm being led by Jesus himself? It's impossible. It's impossible, parents. So the greatest decision you can make starting right now, and I'm telling you, it's right now. It is right now. You need to say yes to Jesus and give everything over to him. Well, I got this in my life. I don't care. God doesn't care. He'll work on this and that. What he needs from you, because he's not going to force you, he needs you to respond yourself and say, because he does not make robots. He's created human beings with hearts, with a mind, a will, and emotions. You have to make the decision, parent. Pastor Ron made that decision, and now, because of that, his children serve the Lord. He's got a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law that serve God. But it starts with you, parent. What are you going to do about this? Are you going to continue to run from God? Or are you going to stand up, be the man or woman God called you to be, and give everything over to him? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you.